Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 79, and things winding down as we start Super Bowl week and all the pomp and circumstance that comes with that media day today in prime time, of all things. Dave, for the Steelers, it'll be a bit of a quiet time here as they prepare for free agency and the NFL draft, and we'll see if we get some signings, and that's kind of where we're going to spend at least the first part of the podcast today.
Yeah, media day. There should be how many times will Peyton Manning be asked whether or not this is his final season, and because of that, is that kind of a good distraction for the Broncos to have?
In terms of Peyton being the focus of all the attention?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these guys will, they've been there before, a lot of these guys. On Carolina's side, is very much going to be a focus on Cam Newton. I think that's kind of the nature of the beast in the Super Bowl. The quarterbacks are going to get the limelight. But today will be everybody's chance to be involved. And, for these guys, I was listening to one, I can't remember the player it was, talking how they dealt with it. And so basically, they didn't have curfew the first two nights. They would go to the city wherever the Super Bowl was. Obviously, it's going to be in Santa Clara this year outside of San Francisco. And so they'll probably have some fun tonight and tomorrow and then kind of really get down to business Wednesday, Thursday, and, leading up to the game Sunday. I mean, this is for me, it's not my favorite time of year. I mean, obviously, the season is over for 30 teams. And the two-week break, kind of, every subject line, storyline is just beaten to death. And the Peyton and Cam storylines have already been beaten to death.
Yeah, but I guess what I was getting at is if there was anybody I wanted the focus to be on, if I'm the Broncos this week, I want all the limelight on Peyton Manning because he knows how to handle it. And if he's able to take – Lord knows the kind of stories and questions a lot of these guys will be asked, during media day. And in my opinion, if that's the worst thing that can happen to my team is Peyton Manning continue to be badgered about whether or not the Super Bowl will be his final game, is fine by me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with Peyton getting the attention. I just – there's so many media people there and there's so much going on. Everybody's going to get their fair share of time and questions asked. It's just in terms of kind of my enjoyment of the week, I'll kind of turn myself off from the media and I'm not going to sit on my show and drill this storyline to death. It is what it is. Would the game be more interesting if it were New England and Carolina or New England and Arizona? Maybe a little bit. I mean, I think the Carolina thing's interesting about it. I don't know that I feel like, I don't think the Broncos are the best team in the AFC, to be honest with you.
Well, they definitely have the best defense.
They do have the best defense.
And that, I've written about it several times. And look, this is the best, number one and number two defense, in my opinion, in the NFL. And the statistical categories kind of back that up. So I think whichever quarterback plays better. You remember a couple years ago when Denver played Seattle, and I think I picked Denver to win that game, even though Seattle had the better defense. I said, well, Peyton, I'm going to go with the quarterback on this one. I swore to myself after making that prediction and losing that I would always go with the stronger defense, in a Super Bowl from here on out, assuming that, the other side didn't have Trent Dilfer as their quarterback. In this case, you got two defenses that are relatively comparable, both against the run and against the pass. So I think this one will really come down to who has the better quarterback play, and it's hard not to go with Cam Newton, right?
No doubt. You got to think Cam's the better quarterback here. Just You know, Peyton's gotten through these past two games, and that's probably the best you can say about it. Look, he didn't play great against the Steelers. He orchestrated the winning drive, which was mainly on the ground after the big play, the big gain they got for the first down. He was the better quarterback of the two in the game against the Patriots, but Brady had a nightmare against that defense. So, Cam's going to be better able to handle. If Ware and Von Miller are coming off the edge and the pressure they're going to bring, Cam's going to be better able to handle that than Brady was.
Yeah, we'll see just how good that offensive line of the Panthers really is. And you got to tip your hat to them. They really have played good this year on top of it. And having to control Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware will indeed be a chore. But the same goes for the Broncos offensive line. And, the way the Panthers are able to get after the quarterback with their front six or seven, however many they decide to send in this game. We'll have plenty of time, Wednesday and Thursday to kind of preview more of the Super Bowl there, but kind of keep getting back on a Steelers kind of related note, David. We've already talked about kind of what we would do with a guy like Le'Veon Bell, and I thought now would be a perfect time to turn our attention to a couple of other guys that are will soon be unrestricted free agents and what their market value will be. And I wrote about one of these guys, William Gay, in the past couple of days here. Where do you see William Gay's average yearly market value being right now at this point in his career?
4 to 4.5 million.
Yeah, I calculated him, I think, right at 4 million, right around in there. It's funny. William Gay earned a base salary in 2015 of 1.5 million. Cornerback Antoine Blake earned 1.542 million. And Cortez Allen, of course, earned in 2015 5.63 million. Respectively between those two guys there. So I think we both agree William Gay was the Steelers' most consistent and best cornerback that they had on their roster last year, right?
Sure, sure.
So the thing is, he turned 31 earlier or last month now, or I guess we're in February now, so he turned 31, I think, right at the new year. And when you look at around the league at guys like Buster Skrine, Devon House, Sean Smith, and Keenan Lewis are all averaging 5.1 million or more per season. You would think the bottom market value for William Gay right now would be 4 million. And it's funny that William Gay, according to my records, has earned just a little more than 9 million total since he came into the league back in 2007. So somebody's going to pay him. It's a matter of whether or not it will be the Steelers. And in my contract that I laid out there, a 3-year deal, averaging $4 million a season with roughly 35% of that deal being guaranteed. You could have William Gay back in the fold for the 2016 season with a cap charge of $2.4 million. And on top of that, his 2017 and 2018 season, his cap charges in both those years would be less than $5 million. You could really easily cut him after just 1 year if you needed to. With all that said, is that a deal – A, is that a deal you'd be willing the Steelers to give him? Three, basically a $12 million deal over 3 years, and is that something you think William Gay would accept?
I wouldn't give him 3 years. No chance. I'd be looking at a 2-year, $8 million deal, maybe go to 10, but I'm not giving him a third year at his age.
Okay, but I mean, keep in mind now that you have to be able to stretch that signing bonus out.
Well, you don't have to. I mean,
Well, no, you don't have to, but I mean, the higher his first year cap charge is going to be, on top of it.
$4 million, I'm not overly worried about that. I'd just give him a 2-year deal.
Okay, so 2 years, $8 million.
Yeah, I would do 2 years, $8 million. And I would think, as you pointed out, I think he'd take it. I mean, if you guarantee, you know, you'd be happy to guarantee half of that. I mean, you know, you're going to guarantee his salary for this year. So if you want to just, you know, make it a $3 million signing bonus with a, you know, kind of just split the salaries over the 2 years and the balance of that, whatever that is, $5 million over 2 years, and go from there.
Well, the advantage to the way I have this drawn up is, even after, let's say he only plays 1 year with you, 2016, you can cut him after the first year and only have $1.8 million in dead money.
Yeah, well, right. I think you may want to have him for 2 years. I think he's probably got 2 years of capable play left. So, look, I mean, there are a million, you know, debating how they're going to structure it's kind of, you know, I don't know. Probably not the most entertaining stuff for the listeners, but I think we're on the same page that probably $4 million a year is his value. I don't see other teams paying more than that, and I think he's probably got 2 years of, you know, playing in the league left.
So with all that said, you expect do you expect him to, even the Steelers, allow him to hit free agency in March, or do you think they'll have this wrapped up just prior to that?
I would be surprised if he hit free agency, and I'd be surprised if the Steelers didn't give him a fair deal, and I'd be surprised if he didn't take it. So everything leads me to believe that a deal for both he and Steve McClendon will get done kind of on a, you know, kind of fair market. They're not going to test the market. They've never really made kind of big money in terms of, you know, major sports money in terms of what we're talking about. So, you know, whether it's 3.75 or it's 4.5, I don't know the answer to that, but I think if the Steelers offer something in that range, I'd be shocked if that didn't get done.
Would the Tennessee Titans be the main player if he did hit free agency?
I mean, you know, if you're just going to draw a connection to the coaching staff, of course that would be the obvious thing. But, I don't know. I haven't gone through cornerback depth charts to kind of analyze that well enough to know.
And probably the same would go for a guy like Steve McClendon. Where is your head as far as a yearly, 3 year, $10 million for McClendon sound roughly about right?
I like the average annual value. Again, I'm not sure I'd go 3 years if I didn't have to. Putting it on a 2 year deal at, you know, six and a half would be, you know, just under what we were talking about. Gay would be kind of where I'd be. What's McClendon? 28, 29?
He's 30 now, isn't he? I'm trying to look here. I think he's, if he's not, he's right on. I think he's right on top of that with the Steelers. Hold on just a minute and I'll look. I thought it was, he turned 30 in January too, a couple of days after William Gay turned 31.
Yeah.
So, he's right at 30. He doesn't have, for a guy that's been around the league as long as he has, he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on him. He proved in 2015 he could stay healthy a whole season. Look, he was great against the run. Opponents averaged less than 2.5 yards per carry against the Steelers running the football when he was on the field. I guess the question is there a team out there willing to pay him, you know, $4 million on average a season for 3 years, and you know, the list would be low because, I mean, realistically, he is a true, even though he proved that he could play some, you know, play a defensive end in a 3-4, that's not where his value lies, and because of that, you know, one would think that he's a guy that's probably going to be on the field at max 40% of the defensive snaps in a season. So, once again, do you expect him to be re-signed prior to the start of free agency?
I do, but it would not shock me if the Steelers started looking around for another guy in the back of the draft. We've talked about defensive line needs, and, you know, I think the ship has sailed on Daniel McCullers. I'm not going to say he's not going to be on the roster next year, but he's not going to be a guy who I think is eventually a starting nose tackle in this league. And if the Steelers were able to get somebody else who could play on the nose, you know, maybe McClendon can take some snaps at end. We'll see. I mean, look, they've got Cam Thomas isn't going to be on the roster. And the Steelers, you know, they've just lacked depth at the defensive end position now for a couple of years. So I would expect to see them do some things on the defensive line to shore that up. And I think McClendon will, you know, be a priority to get that done. Same type of thing. I have the exact same view of him getting a deal done as I do of William Gay.
I do as well, and I like the chances of both those guys being done prior to the start of the new league year. Now they obviously could take a chance and you know, like they did with Ike Taylor a few years ago, let him go out there and see what's out there. They did it with Ryan Clark, believe it or not. Remember a few years ago with Ryan Clark, they let him kind of explore his options before I think ultimately it looked like he was going to take a visit to the Dolphins or something like that. And then they were able to get a deal done. But I'm with you. Is it imperative that they get deals done with both these guys?
Well,
Gay and McClure?
I mean, the answer is yes and no, in the sense of they've got to have guys. That now, whether if they don't, then they're going to have to go into free agency and find kind of the middle market guys that can be the replacement. So the devil you know better than the devil you don't is the way I'd look at it. So it's not necessarily imperative that they get done with those two specific individuals, but they're going to have to get a deal done with a corner and a nose tackle at around those prices. So why not have it be those guys?
Exactly. And those are kind of, you know, I would expect Gay to come in around $4 million and McClendon probably anywhere between $3 and $4 million. Why would you want to bust up, you know, two of your best defensive players, but two of your most consistent defensive players for sure. So let's fast forward to Foster, to Ramon Foster. Where do you perceive his market value right now?
I feel pretty strongly that Ramon Foster is going to hit free agency. And not only, you know, we can go through all the reasons, but the primary one is I think Ramon will want to test his market value because this is going to be the last, you know, his last chance at kind of making some relatively bigger money. I don't think the Steelers necessarily, you know, having going to pay to Castro this offseason, having already paid, you know, your center and your right tackle, you're in a position where if you can skimp a little bit at left guard, then fine. And if Ramon Foster were going to take a 2-year, $5 million, $6 million deal, kind of along the lines that we're talking about McClendon, then I think the Steelers would happily take him back. But I think he'll look and he'll go out and look to see if he can do better.
Where do you have his yearly value?
I think he's probably, if I were his agent, I'd be looking at $3.5 million, maybe around that level.
You don't think he's worth more than that?
No, I don't think he's going to get a lot more than that. No, I mean, look, you could probably convince me four, but I wouldn't get above four.
In going through and kind of researching, you know, soon to be unrestricted free agents, there's, you know, And looking at the guard market, there's not a lot out there. And here they, I'm going to read them off to you by the rankings, by the grades given out by Pro Football Focus. And whether or not listener wants to go by those is fine. I know it's such a what's the word I'm looking for as far as using Pro Football Focus. Some people, let me just put you this way. Some people like Pro Football Focus. Some people don't. Richie Incognito is going to be an unrestricted free agent. He was the highest ranked. Jeff Allen with the Chiefs, soon to be an unrestricted free agent. Ramon Foster would be the third ranked guard as far as grades go. He was the 16th overall ranked guard in the league last year and the third best guard, soon to be an unrestricted free agent. Then it goes Michael Harris from Minnesota and Chris Chester with Atlanta. Chris Chester, I believe, has got some age on him as well, too. After that, you really get into, you know, Brandon Brooks with Houston will likely be a target for some teams, as will Alex Boone with San Francisco as well, too. But once you get past those guys, you know, I guess what I'm saying is Foster is very marketable.
Okay. I don't think people are out there paying big money for guards who are, you know, Ramon Foster's age. I'm not debating that he's a league average or maybe a tad better at guard, but I don't see him going out there and
okay, here's where I'm going with this, and I'm working kind of on an article on this now. $5 million too much average yearly value?
I think for the Steelers, it'll be way. Steelers won't pay that.
Okay. Because you could do a 3-year deal with him for $15 million, give him $5.5 million guaranteed. Now, if you were going to do that, I'm with you. I'm with you on this aspect. I don't think they're able to get something done with him prior to the start of the new league year. If I'm him, this is my last money grab. If you're Foster. And in my opinion, he'd be wise to at least see what's out there, right?
For sure. I think for sure. And look, for all the reasons you just said, I don't think the Steelers will pay it. Maybe somebody else will.
So of Gay, McClendon, and Foster, the least likely to return would be Foster.
Yeah, and I don't think it's close. I don't think he'll be back, and I do think the other two will be back.
So if you don't think Foster will be back, then you think another team is willing to pay him more than $4 million a season?
Four or more. I don't think the Steelers even pay four.
Interesting. I would probably put the ceiling at the Steelers, you know, at five at max. I mean, he's not going to earn. I think we both agree he's not going to earn more than that. You seem to think he won't get $5 million on the open market at all. But I think when you look at the list of guys out there. And look, I mean, Ramon, he's not flashy, right? But he's as consistent as they come. He's missed very, and by consistent, I mean in both the run game and the pass blocking game. He's not a mobile guy. He's not a guy that you're going to pull to the right six or seven times. He's a great locker room guy, on top of it. He's still only 30 years old, on top of it. So I think that wherever he lands, it's going to come in between $4 and $5 million.
Yeah, the Steelers are going to look. Steelers are going to have B.J. Finney. They're going to have Chris Hubbard in camp. You know.
Do you really want? You admit that you're likely taking a step back. Well, you know, with Finney or Hubbard. Now you could. Now there's nothing that says this team can't draft a guard 25th overall, plug and play.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, everybody thought they had taken a, you know, we say we think we know about players, but Marcus Gilbert had a year that nobody anticipated this year. Ali Villanueva had a year that nobody anticipated this year. I'm not going to say that I have a sense that B.J. Finney can't be as good as Ramon Foster. I have no idea. You wouldn't expect it necessarily, but, you know, you put him between Pouncey and a year older Villanueva, and can he do the job? Yeah, maybe so.
If you could get Ramon back at $4 million a season, you'd do that in a heartbeat.
I'm not diving on that. No, if I can get him at $2.5 or $3 million, I'd probably do it for sure for a 2-year deal. But I just think, you know, when we talk about the resources and what the Steelers are going to do, if I've got to squeeze places, that's one place I'm going to squeeze because you're going to be paying receivers. You're going to be paying Le'Veon Bell. Possibly you're going to be paying, you know, I'd like to see him go into free agency and find an impact player, whatever that means and where, whatever position that is. So if I get to pinch a couple million bucks, I'm going to pinch it right there.
All right. Interesting. I think, like I said, I think he hits free agency, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm not sure whether or not he comes back, and I think his market value is in between $4 and $5 million. If I would look long and hard, here's another thing. You know, do you want to interrupt the continuity that you have on that left side? You know, as part of Villanueva's kind of growing. You know, growing stage being. Take that a step forward, further. Let's say you do lose Ramon Foster during free agency, and you don't replace him with an outside free agent. Would you consider flipping DeCastro over to the left side?
Probably not. They obviously, you know, this is where he's been. He's comfortable there. I wouldn't mess with that.
And, you know, it's easy to draw, because of that statement, it's easy to draw a parallel to kind of to Alan Faneca, you know, started his career at right guard and then switched over to the left guard. It sure would be nice to be able to run that power, run that pulling guard to the left side. I mean, to the right side with having a nice guard be able to pull that way. So do I think that will ultimately happen with DeCastro? No, but I don't think you can rule it out. Speaking of DeCastro, we know he's going to get a new deal, right?
Yes.
All right. Being as how they picked up the fifth-year option of him, that's a little more than $8 million. You would expect his average yearly value of his new money to be more than $8 million, correct?
I think around that number is the right number, yeah.
All right. I've got a I got a deal up on Steelers Depot that I wrote this morning. I could foresee extending him 5 years. In other words, it would be the total value of the contract would be 6 years with all the money totaling out to $50 million. New money come in just under $42 million, and his new money average would be nearly $8.4 million. Would you be fine with that?
You give it to me again, $8.4 million average annual value over how long?
Of new money, which would be, however many years you extend them for.
Yeah, what, 4 years probably?
They extended Cam by 5 years, it would make, judging by what they've done in the past, one would think that it would be a five-year extension, which would keep him under contract through the 2021 season.
Yeah, then you've got your, three of your line guys extended. You got Allie on a cheap deal, and you got whoever at left guard. So yes, that all sounds about right to me.
Yeah. Now I don't expect my contract numbers to come in exactly the way they're listed on Steelers Depot, but they should be fairly close. I think one thing to kind of watch in that whole scenario is what the Bengals do with Kevin Zeitler, who like DeCastro had his fifth year option picked up last year as well too. So if Zeitler gets his deal done first, obviously DeCastro is going to want a little bit more than that, and vice versa, I think. But the Steelers extended Cameron Hayward last off season in July, so one would think DeCastro's deal would be sometime in July as well. Who else do we need to talk about? Robert Golden is a guy that we think will get done prior to free agency.
Yeah, Golden. Yep, something kind of along the again, kind of 2 years,
million and a half.
Yeah, $2 million, $1.5 million to $2 million a year. He made $1.5 million this year. Maybe you could give him a 2 year, $4 million deal, something like that.
Yeah, and that should be done fairly easily.
Antoine Blake gets something along those lines. 2 years, $4 million, $4 to $5 million. I mean, what Brace McCain get? 3 years, $5 million from Miami when he left last year. That might be a template for Blake too. Ross Cockrell, same type of thing. Doing deals along the kind of $1.5-2 million a year type.
Bryce McCain, what did he get? It doesn't seem like
three, 3 years, 5.5, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
2 year, 5.5.
Oh, 2 year, 5.5. Okay, so even more.
So what's that? 2 point.
2.25.
Yeah.
No, 2.75, right?
2 year, 5.5 million.
Yeah, so 2.75 a year.
Antoine Blake's not worth that a year.
No, he's going to get. I was doing it over, all of them, $1.5 to $2 million. Golden, Blake, Cockrell, same thing.
Boy, there are going to be some irate fans on Twitter. Here's my view on Blake. Who out there is going to give him more than the minimum? You think there's someone out there willing to give him more than a minimum?
Yeah, maybe by $500,000. Look, I don't think anybody expected Bryce McCain to make that kind of money, right?
No, a little bit more than maybe what I thought he'd get, for sure. Probably going back through my stuff, I expected him to be one of the guys that was a slam dunk to get re-signed. We don't expect Brandon Boykin back, but whereas his, if we talked about, William Gay's average yearly value probably being around $4 million, where do you think a guy like, Boykin's average yearly value is? Five and a half?
No, I don't think it's that high. Four. I'd be, if Boykin makes $5 million a year, I'll lose a bet. I'll do something because I just can't see him making $5 million a year. $5 million. I can't see it.
Now we agree that William Gay is probably a better slot corner than he is outside.
I think Weir Gay's a pretty good corner. I'd rather play him in the slot, but he can please, you know, he's proven he can play outside.
If you could re-sign Boykin for the same that you could probably sign Gay, are you letting William Gay walk?
I would take Gay over Boykin, but not by a lot.
So you expect his new deal to be similar to whatever Gay ends up average yearly value?
Yeah, I'll be really surprised if Brandon Boykin makes more than $4 million a year.
Okay. That'll be interesting to watch for sure. In my opinion, you know, Blake is a special teams guy who can give you some snaps at corner. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Look, Blake, if Blake could be to the corner position what Robert Golden is to the safety position, the Steelers would be fine. If he's their fourth corner, great. I mean, if that means it's Sanquez Golson and it's Gay and it's somebody else, and somebody else is good, then your backup corners are Blake and Cockrell, who were, you know, your second and third corners for a lot of this season, then that'd be a good position for the Steelers to be in, because they can be, you know, Cockrell made some plays, Blake made some plays, we know he's a good special teams player. So if that's your depth at corner, if you're this year's, you know, second and third corner become your fourth and fifth corner, that's good.
Remember that 1 year restricted deal last year for Blake was just a little bit more than $1.5 million. So you think he's worth at least $1.5 million a season going forward?
Yeah, with the three guys who came on those deals were what, Garvin, Will Johnson, and Robert Golden, were those the three guys who were restricted this past year?
It was Blake, Will Johnson, and Golden.
Blake, Will Johnson. Yeah, you know, at those numbers, at those numbers, I bring them all back. I don't know if Will Johnson's going to get the opportunity to come back. I mean, Rosie Nix has, you know, probably supplanted him as that role and has a special teams role. Do you want to carry two guys like that when you're carrying Matt Spaeth and carrying Jesse James? Probably. That would be the question. But all those guys at around those numbers, I'd bring them all back.
I'm with a lot of the fans. I just think that, and probably splitting hairs because you're not talking a lot of a big expense here. If you got Blake on a 2 year, I don't know, $1.3 million average, you know, yearly average. I think it'd be wise to let Blake see what's out there, and then try to sign him to a 1 year deal for the veteran minimum that comes with a reduced salary cap hit. And I know. I'll have a lot of listeners in my favor for doing such a deal. Who else free agent wise? Those are the big ones, right?
Yeah, the questions are, and again, this is kind of the national media will speculate on this stuff, and I would be shocked if the Steelers waived Heath Miller. You know, or if he retired or whatever, I expect Heath Miller to be back. We've talked a lot about Timmons. Timmons can't come back under the cap number he's on, but I'd be surprised if he were not back. But, you know, both of those guys, you know, when you talk about guys on this team where you're going to start looking for guys' replacements, don't talk about Ben Roethlisberger. Talk about those two guys, tight end and an inside linebacker, because I really think this will be Heath's last year. We talked as far back as 3 years ago, Dave, when Kobe Fleener was coming out of Stanford about, you know, whether the Steelers should use a high draft pick on a tight end. We've been talking about it for a while now. But, you know, the Steelers need to look at that position and Heath's replacement, and they're going to have to look for somebody to play next to Shazier going forward. Timmons, you know, maybe he has 2 years left, but I'd be surprised if he had much more beyond that.
And you're not giving Timmons any new money, right?
I try not to.
I mean, you're trying to get him to take a Heath Miller / Troy Polamalu deal, and I think he'd be willing to take that. In other words, what you would do is you turn a large amount of that base salary that he's due in 2016 into a signing bonus. You'd add on two more years onto the deal with, let's say, base salaries around $7 million, because if you add any more – if you add any more new money in there or guaranteed money in the form of a signing bonus, you're not going to be able to, you know, that's going to take out of what you can increase or decrease that first year 2016 cap hit on there. So it's pretty much going to be a take it or leave it, I think, with Lawrence Timmons. Look, we're going to give you the money that you're due in 2016. You're just going to get it as a signing bonus, and in order for us to do that, you need to sign for two more years at these salaries so we can prorate, you know, the bonus that, you know, that we're paying. You know, we're turning a good chunk of that money into bonus. So I think he's back as well too. Will Johnson is a guy that you can have back in camp on a 1 year minimum deal easily. If you wanted Will Allen back, one would think that you could have him back on a 1 year deal for the minimum. The same for Greg Warren. Is Darius Haber-Bey going to get any attention out there in free agency?
Yeah, not more than the minimum. I mean, look, he's a guy where, again, he gets the choice. And you have to decide, are you going to play five receivers? Is because, you know, Sammy Coates is going to dress next year, so that's a given. So are you going to dress five receivers? Is Darius Haber-Bey, is that the guy you want because you're going to dress him and have him play special teams? Or are you going to want to take a younger kind of a developmental guy as your fifth receiver who, you know, you want to keep around? I mean, by the way, I'm a little surprised that Tyler Murphy signed away here this offseason.
Yeah, I'm not. I would not be surprised to find out that the Steelers offered him a futures deal with the similar to the other nine, and that he just took a look at the depth chart and said, I don't have a chance here.
Yeah, well, that could absolutely be the case.
And, you know, he signed a futures deal with them. He ended up getting a futures deal. He just got a futures deal with a team that probably gives him a little bit better shot of making a 53-man roster. Because you're right. And here's the thing.
Who did he sign with, Miami?
Miami,
and who,
yeah.
I mean, look, he's from there, right? He started his college career down there. Maybe that played into it. Who knows?
Maybe, but I think it came into chances. And when you look at Darius Haywood-Bey, I think you have to look at it as – does he have the potential? You can never have enough good receivers because you know what happens, you know, with injuries sometimes. So I don't think you re-sign him to a 1 year minimum deal with the idea that he's going to make your 53-man roster. I think it's just more of an insurance clause more than anything else, because you're right. Sammy Coates is going to dress next year. We know who the other three are in addition to him. What we don't know is who will be the Steelers' number five wide receiver next year. So why not have a guy like him if you can get him back for one? I wouldn't give him anything more than a one-year minimum deal, and he might end up getting one. I mean, the Dolphins are a great example. Why wouldn't you maybe look at bringing in Darius Haywood-Bey on a one-year deal for the minimum? Maybe he has a better shot at making that 53-man roster than he does the Steelers. But on the flip side, he knows what he's getting in Pittsburgh. He's had one foot out of the league forever, right?
You would think. I mean, I think people were surprised when he came to Pittsburgh. You know, I know when they signed him, we debated whether he would make the roster. But, you know, we knew he was a good special teams player, and he continues to be a solid special teams player. So there's value there at that price.
The only other couple of people I guess we should talk about, Sean Spence. What are you doing there?
I'm guessing Sean Spence will be a guy who walks. Again, it you know, look, he's a third-round draft pick. I don't know, what did he make in the last year of his deal? Did he make around a million?
No. He certainly – I don't think he made that. Let's see here. He made $680,000 last year.
Yeah, I would think Sean Spence is a guy that, you know, he's shown that he can play. I don't know that he'll ever be a starter in this league, but I think he might look for – he might – you know, if I were him and his agent, I would at least go to market. And if I'm the Steelers, I bring him back for, you know, $1.5 million, $1.5 million, not much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, his market value is capped, definitely under $2 million a season for sure. So I'm with you. He would be wise to at least look around out there and see what his options are. Terrence Garvin is scheduled to be a restricted free agent. Are you tendering him or are you taking your chances?
You tender him, and it's what's the number this year going to be? $1.7 million? $1.8 million?
$1.6 million, $1.7 million, $1.8 million, right around in there.
Yeah,
we don't know the exact number yet.
I mean, you could take your chances, but he's your special teams captain, or you know, one of them with Golden. I mean, I don't have a problem paying him that. I would be interesting to get a better understanding of what the Steelers thinks his upside is as a linebacker in terms of
it's not much.
Can he actually play? I mean, can you put him out there and feel comfortable with him? And you know, again, you know, we're talking about this, and James Harrison's going to be involved in this whole thing, this numbers game. You know, you're not going to carry, I don't know that, are you going to carry five outside guys with three of them being Garvin, Harrison, and Chickalo? I mean, I don't know that that makes me feel great about, you know, the outside linebacker situation. I have six, no, that gets you to six, right? Because you've got the other three, Motes and the two Jones.
Garvin is an inside guy only.
Yeah.
He's not
okay. So then you say, okay, can Garvin capably replace Sean Spence?
Yeah, that's the cool. And you don't know what you're going to get in the draft, but you would have to make a decision with your restricted free agents prior to the draft.
Yeah, I don't. Who else is a restricted free agent? Garvin. Who else?
That's it. Garvin's the only restricted.
I would do a deal with him.
All right.
Would you?
He's such a good special teams player. You know, you hate to lose so many bodies on special teams. So I would tender him a one-year deal. And then I would hope that he could get beaten out, you know, because that's not guaranteed. So, you know, there's not – the risk in there is minimal, I guess.
Right.
So I would consider tendering him as well. All right, I think that's, you know, as far as guys, I mean, Bruce Gronkowski, I mean, we'll see what happens with him. I mean, we already talked, goodbye Mike Vick. Gronkowski, you would think he might be able to get back on a one-year minimum deal with a reduced signing bonus. I mean, the guy hasn't. He's only taken a handful of snaps the last couple of seasons, right? So you would think he doesn't have much of a market value there. All right, I think we beat that horse pretty good. So we would expect prior to free agency starting, McClendon and Gay being back under contract, and with it being iffy on, and the same with Robert Golden, we would expect him back prior to the start of free agency. And really, you know, the only one really worth worrying about would be Ramon Foster.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think Foster is going to free agency, and I think he'll be gone. So,
all righty.
Let's talk about we haven't talked a lot about what else is going on around the league. Let's just talk a couple things. One is, look, the Steelers franchise. This is something we never have to even consider. You know, the Steelers aren't going anywhere, but this whole L.A. thing has been interesting and played itself out, and it was just insane what happened, I can't remember if it was on Saturday or on Friday, but San Diego agrees to a deal in Inglewood with the Rams, and then 3 hours in L.A., so to go to L.A., and 3 hours later, Roger Goodell announces that the NFL and the owners are going to contribute $300 million to a stadium financing proposal in San Diego. Now, my understanding, and having talked to John Clayton and some others about this, is the Spanos family is well-liked by the ownership group. You know, they would like a team to stay in San Diego, obviously, if they're going to finance this. But Roger Goodell had written a letter to St. Louis saying that under NFL guidelines, they would never, under any circumstances, offer more than $200 million to of ownership league money to finance a stadium. And that's all they would offer St. Louis. And here, you know, 2 months later, he turns and offers $300 million to San Diego. That has people in St. Louis steaming hot about that. But, you know, I imagine this isn't something that most people care about, but do you care at all about it? And how about the idea of the and I'm sure you'll love this, the Raiders possibly going to Vegas.
Yeah. Sounds like something you have to wonder if Al Davis is still running around, right?
I'm telling you, put the Raiders in Vegas in 1 second. I mean, get that done yesterday.
Boy, the Las Vegas Raiders. They obviously would need a stadium, right?
Yeah, they got to build a new one. They'd have to build a new one.
So that would leave the NFL with just one team in L.A.
And one in Northern California, and obviously one in San Diego.
Right, right. Which I think the Rams would be happy about that being the only. Do you really want two teams in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. People say they can't. You know, he's going to build his. You're going to have the L.A. version of Jerry World out there. It's going to be a sight. Now, does that get people to go to the games? Well, you know, they're building the new stadiums, and they're building it for today's fan. I mean, fantasy football is going to be part of the new stadium feature. Wi-Fi is going to be, making sure you can see everything, the red zone stuff. I mean, they want people to go to the games. They got to make it so it's more fun than being in your living room with all the toys and the convenience that you have there. So knowing that, you know, maybe could you support too? I mean, if he got another team there, he gets paid. You know, San Diego pays some outrageous fee, like, you know, $300 million to be part of the joint building of the stadium. So he defrays some expenses. But, yeah, I mean, look, one in L.A., one in San Diego, one in Northern California. Sounds fine to me.
So you're saying there's no chance at all that the Raiders return to Oakland?
It doesn't sound like it to me, but, I mean, they're talking about San Antonio for a couple of years. I mean, I've heard all sorts of things floated around. I don't really know what the status of the Raiders is at the moment, but it sure doesn't sound like the answer is going to be Oakland.
Well, first and foremost, I'm glad to see San Diego not lose their franchise. I couldn't imagine, right? I mean, could you imagine being a fan and having that happening?
Well, I mean, look, it just happened in St. Louis, and there is the argument that, hey, you took the franchise from L.A. to begin with. I don't think that makes anybody in St. Louis feel any better. But, yeah, no, obviously that's not going to happen in Pittsburgh, but we've seen it happen in the division. I mean, look, we saw it happen in Cleveland. So, I mean, which was pretty shocking. I don't think anybody would have ever expected that.
I've been to Vegas quite a bit over my lifetime, but you have as well too. But do you think Vegas could support an NFL franchise?
Yeah, no problem. No problem. People are out there every weekend. You know, you have a base of, you know, season ticket holders, and then you have people who want to, you know, on a Sunday go to a game. You know, go hang out at an NFL game for a couple hours on a Sunday. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I guess the amount of conventions they have there on a weekly basis is just absolutely unreal, and that doesn't take into account just plain flat out tourism and everything that goes along with it. So where do you think the Raiders play next year? Do you think they wind up playing in Las Vegas next year?
I would be surprised if they're in Las Vegas. I guess the default is to Oakland next year, right? I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the answer is for the Raiders next year.
I mean, and L.A.'s still got to wait for that stadium to be built, right?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be like 2018 or 19. And they're still trying to figure out where the Rams are playing, I think. The Rose Bowl – The Coliseum seems like the default option because the Rose Bowl has said unequivocally no, and they're not in a lot of other options.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about the league subsidizing?
Well, then it's a question of, are we subsidizing it? You know, and look, first of all, I have changed as I have gotten older on this, the whole taxpayer financing, and I think absolutely – these guys are making enough money that there shouldn't be a taxpayer dime used for an NFL owner to build a stadium. Not a dime. I mean, there is enough money in the league, and these guys are making enough money that, look, if the league wants a franchise in San Diego and wants those guys to stay there and the owners agree, it's all coming out of their pocket. I don't have any problem with it. I'd much rather, 100% rather see that than taxpayer money used for that.
Yeah, I agree with you there. What's going to end up happening with Jack? It sounds like they want to keep the owner, what's his name, Shad in Jacksonville. Sounds like he's going to do everything in his power to keep that team in Jacksonville.
Yeah, they're going to stay and play, you know, they're going to try and be the London team as well and, you know, have that thing going so that they play a game there every year and, you know, develop a fan base there. But he's a smart guy, and his, you know, they're on the cutting edge of some things. We'll see. They, you know, they extended Gus Bradley. We'll see how it goes. I think we all thought the defense would be the strong side of the ball for them this year. And it turned out that they, you know, that Bortles has developed into a guy who, you know, maybe a guy who can be a top 10 quarterback in this league. And Allen Robinson's developed into a number one receiver. I don't know that a ton of people saw that coming. So if they get the defense sorted out, get some of those guys back on the field, maybe they take a step forward. I mean, they might be the sexy pick to win that division next year.
10 years from now, will there be a team in overseas?
I don't think so. I think they'll continue to have more games overseas, but I don't. 32 is such a hard number to move from, so you're gonna have to move a franchise. I just can't see expansion from 32. Do you see that?
No, I don't. I understand them continually want to have the carrot dangling out there to them, but just think of logistics and all too. I mean, it'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it, for the NFL? I mean, how would you like to be a practice squad player and one moment you're out there on the practice squad and the next moment you're packing up having to go back to the States, you know? And think about having to try to bring players in for workouts.
Well, how about this? They talked about this having a basing, you know, this whole thing at the homestead, or what's it called? Is that what it's called, where the Saints have their preseason and stuff, and a couple teams stayed there when they did, instead of going back to the West Coast and practice down at the Greenbrier. They talked about using that as a base for teams that were going back and forth to London. And if they went over there, you'd play two games over there and do some, you know, different things. You know, obviously people are trying to come up with all sorts of different solutions to make it work so that it doesn't crush an organization. But if you had a team based in London, they would give them this practice facility at the Greenbrier. So that would be their U.S. base so that they could have operations on both sides. And it's just, you know, just another idea of how to make this stuff work.
Yeah, I think I'll be shocked, although, I don't know, 10 years is a long time from now, right?
Yeah, let's hope we're involved.
That's season 16, season 17 of the Terrible Podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you watch the Pro Bowl at all?
Yes, I did.
I didn't.
Every year I say I won't, but I always do.
I saw.
I you know what? I can't remember not watching a program Pro Bowl since I was like seven.
Well, I will tell you that I'm in the same boat, and I saw. But the last couple of years, I think I've seen a total of about five snaps. I think I saw one snap out of the corner of my eye last night.
I mean, everybody agrees, and it's been this way for years. It's not the Pro Bowl that you and I grew up with.
No. Heck, when I grew up, they used to have a college all-star team in July play the defending Super Bowl champion. So I watched the Steelers play college all-stars in July.
Yeah, we had superstars back then to keep us busy.
Yeah, the superstars. Battle network stars. Battle the network stars.
That was always fantastic. I always remember the Steelers for it seemed like a couple years in a row taking part in the superstars. Boy, we're really showing our age there. Do you like do you like what the NHL tried to do with their all-star game to spice things up?
I watched about 5 minutes of that, and you know, I'll say, you know, okay. I mean, because the other one was worthless, so maybe this was a tad better than worthless.
Why the ratings of the Pro Bowl continue to come back is worthy
everything
of that.
Else. Although I just read something on Twitter as we're having this conversation that this could be the lowest rated Pro Bowl in history.
And especially considering that over half the people that selected to the Pro Bowl don't play in it, right?
Yeah, I think 41 out of 86 did not attend. I mean, they're gonna have to, you know, figure this out. It's not working. So,
and it's hard to make it work too because players dealing with injuries, players worried about getting injured. I mean, unless you just up that prize fund to something where players say, "Man, I got to play in that because I could use the extra $150,000," you know.
Yeah, right.
What did they earn? I just posted that this morning. Something like the winning team got $89,000 or something. Is that enough to risk? You know, to kind of risk. Let me see what it was here. Oh, winning Pro Bowl team players received $58,000, while each player on the losing squad earned $29,000. Now, if you brought anybody with you, if you brought some teammates to the Pro Bowl or whatever, that eats that up mighty quick along with that.
Well, I'll tell you, though, it means you can, take your family and have a heck of a nice vacation.
Yeah, but is it going to motivate you to play any better?
Oh, yeah, it might motivate you to go.
What would end up motivating these players to
David DeHaeffer was obviously motivated to go. He's going to have surgery, and, he put that, not that it matters. His surgery is not a huge deal, but he wanted to get out there. So I think, probably for the first time, I'd be surprised how many of those guys in the 41 who didn't play, how many were first-time guys. Because I think it's probably something you definitely want to do once. And I was reading, I can't remember who the player was, but he said he had an absolutely unbelievably great week, so.
Right, and look, first-year players, you would expect them to go to experience that kind of thing once.
Yes, right.
But I guess where I'm going with this is, what do you do to make the game competitive, and will you be able to ever get back to that again?
No, you'll never make it competitive. Never make an all-star game in football competitive.
Yeah, I think just because the nature of the sport and injuries and everything that goes along with it as well. All right.
Break the game down a little bit later this week, so we'll talk a little bit about it.
What, about the Pro Bowl?
No, the Super Bowl.
Oh, good, because I'm not breaking down the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on either Wednesday or Friday. All right, we managed to fill up some time talking about some free agency stuff, and as this thing goes further, we'll be talking more and more about draft prospects as well, too. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Let us hear from you about some of those contracts that we laid out, and whether or not you do the deals with, those three or four major guys that we talked about. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. You can do so. You can find that donate button up there, in the top black navigation bar over to the right hand side of the page. David, enjoy Media Day.
Yeah, we'll have at it. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.